God bless you. Please have your seat briefly. And I welcome you to tonight. I want to appreciate the Escos for bearing with me tonight. Understanding heart, as well as this privilege to stand before you and be a blessing. I want to appreciate you for the sacrifice you have made. I don't need to be told that you are hungry. I know that you are hungry. And I'm sure you don't need to be told that God has a weak spot for people who are what? Hungry. That's one of his challenges. It's an issue God has. The only people that I am usually bothered to stand before are people who are not hungry, because it means a lot. It means the person in the first place is not even alive. And so the work is double or probably even triple. And you need the breaker, because we're talking about hard grounds of people who have never tasted love before. Have you ever seen the life of a man who suffered all through his life? Have you ever seen the personality of such people? Of people who have gone through all kinds of woes. These are not bad people. But you wonder why they have anger issues. Or they're easily irritated. Or they're just wicked. And when you trace it back, you see that there was somebody who did not experience love. Love of his father or his mother. He didn't know the love of family. Same way there are many believers on the earth today who have begun their walk with God and did not begin on the foundation of love. Tonight, I'm seeing the Lord purging our hearts and preparing us for the fire. And I pray that what God wants to accomplish tonight will be accomplished in Jesus' name. Look at your neighbor and congratulate your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, congrats, so you made it. Tell the other person, you are here. I'm aware we have to get back to our hostels, so I'm going to be as quick as possible. I was beginning to feel the pull, and I'm still feeling it, the pull of God into intimacy, and it's distracting me from some of the things I prepared to share. And it's a good distraction, because intimacy can never be wrong. I pray somebody hears every statement I'm saying tonight. You know, you can be listening to me and you're not hearing. I mean, you can even say that, yes sir, you said, and you didn't hear me. It bothered me for years how I would watch a video on YouTube and be so massively blessed. It will bless me so much. Then I will meet somebody who is not just a member of the church of the man of God who I watched and was blessed by one video I watched. But it's his protocol. Sometimes his personal assistant, who sleeps on the same bed when they go for ministration sometimes and eats from the same plate, and his life still looks like something, nothing to write home about. Because it's about, somebody help me please, it's season. It's never about how close you are to reality. It is always about hunger. Can you say hunger? That's all. Guys, if you stay hungry the rest of your life, you will make progress the rest of your life. And as I was beginning to take those songs, God was taking me through memory lane. It was remaining small, I would have burst into tears. I was trying to be careful. And I'm never embarrassed too. Because if you're not a little child before him, you cannot encounter him. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. There, verse 31. And before we read, for those of us who have never come across this story before, it's the story of Elijah, the contest between Elijah, prophet, or Baal. Israel had turned away from God, Israel had forgotten their first love. Israel no longer followed God. They were now worshipping idols. Israel had forgotten the one who delivered them from Egypt. And I think to me it's interesting how easily human beings forget. And that's why I don't take people too seriously. Not that I don't value people, but I don't take them too seriously. And so it's very difficult to hurt me because I'm not taking you too seriously. I know that you are shouting that you love me. Ah, chanting master, drunken master, and so on and so forth. But human beings, tomorrow, something happens, God forbid. Something not too good to hear. And the very same people, you will not believe the very things they will be saying. Correct. Am I correct? How many of you understand what I'm saying? So we're not the first to be like that, all right? It's how it has been. I wish it was not like that, but that's how it is. Because I don't want us to just run into the story. It's painful that people God chose above every other people in the whole world. God left everybody out and picked Israel. Israel turned their back on God and went after idols. You might quickly begin to think in your mind that I don't understand which kind of people are these. They are so stiff-necked. They are so foolish. How can God do all this for you and you still be so ungrateful? How many of you have thought like that? When you read the scriptures and you see 10 plagues, God meted out on the Egyptians, wrecked their entire civilization, delivered his people by a mighty hand. Pharaoh wanted to let them go. God hardened his heart. Because he had many more signs to show. And God was disappointed. He thought Pharaoh was a hard man. And after 2-3 signs, Pharaoh had already given up. And so God told Moses, I will make him harder. He's a small boy. I will toughen him. So I can deal with him. Because there's no man that can stand before God. God has to strengthen you to stand before him. Did you hear what I said? That's why I hate to hear that people are hard. There's nobody that is hard. Nobody has their time. That's why. They are just surrounded by wicked and selfish people. There's no family member that is hard. There's no father. There's no mother that is hard. They are just surrounded by people who will not take them as burdens and pray. For God spoke and said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Nigeria is not too hard. Can you say Nigeria is not too hard? But that's not why we are here, all right? Guys, pray for Nigeria. Israel had been treated specially for many decades up until now. They had hurt God again and again and again and again and again. Many times they had been destroyed and gathered again, wounded and gathered again. They had been taken as slaves. All manner of things had happened to them. But for some reason, they never really learned the lesson permanently. At this very time, Jezebel was even the queen of Israel. Evil had taken over the entire land, and all the prophets of God were forced to hide. Only one man, can you say one man? One man, only one man was bold enough to confront darkness. And yet again, before we go on, I must say, the fact that we are many does not impress God, and it does not threaten the enemy. The fact that we are many, I repeat, does not impress God. You are not doing him a favor by counting many people. Because it does not help his agenda, because we are many. Until a person arises who is intentional, who is serious about changing the game, God is not impressed and Satan is not threatened. And so, the enemy does not mind us being as many as we are, and even times 5 or times 10 in FUNAB, he does not mind. You can triple your number, multiply it times 1 billion. In fact, let there be so many Christians, you cannot even walk on the road because you are touching shoulder to shoulder. So many Christians, as long as nobody is on fire. That was the case of Israel. 7,000 people were hidden in caves. One man came out and said, "By my word, there will be no rain, no dew, until I say there should be." And there was no rain, no dew for 3.5 years. Now it was time for a showdown. It was time for a showdown. He came out, told the king, "Gather all the prophets of Baal and let's meet on Mount Carmel." Don't be distracted, all right? And that brings us to this verse. He told them to call on God, on their God, Baal. And that the God who brings down fire is God. And then we serve him. Verse 31. 1, 2, go. Can we be louder than that? Verse 32. Verse 33. Verse 34. Do it the second time. Hallelujah. Now before we go on, can anybody tell me why they were pouring water on the sacrifice? Was he trying to show that this my God can leak up fire of water? Pay attention. Everything in that place is significant. Do you remember that for 3.5 years there had been no water. Do you remember? And so no rain had fallen. What do you think was the most scarce commodity? Can you hear me? What do you think was the most scarce commodity? What is the one thing you cannot afford to waste? So, what was more of a sacrifice? The water or the cow? Are you seeing that now? Before the sacrifice was laid on the altar, there was correction that needed to be done. I mean, an order and procedure of things that had to be done. And Elijah was very detailed. Took 12 stones, representing all the tribes. Repaired the altar. That means the altar was destroyed. Set a sacrifice on it. So before setting a sacrifice, there must be a repairing of the altar. And your heart is your altar. So tonight, I'm going to take you on a journey very quickly. And I'll tell you my own story. Because as God helps your heart, you'll be set for unusual fire to ravage not just your life and family, but your entire world. I'm saying this because I cannot begin to tell you how many chats I get of people who are frustrated. Those of you who have just received Holy Ghost baptism, you might not understand yet. And so you are still feeling like, you know, you are on top of the world at the moment. You will soon realize that it takes more than sacrifice to carry terrible dimensions of God. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Am I talking to the right set of people? Are you hungry for God? Do you want to hear the truth? I remember when I entered the University of Ibadan, I was not concerned about what God's will was for anybody around me, not to talk of the campus. At best, what does God have for me? If I was going to stress myself, because sacrifice involves stress, yes or no? Are you following? I'm hearing very few people. It means only few people understand what I'm saying. To stand and to press for 6 hours straight, is it stressful or not? Those of you who carry speakers, you know, those who are in the technical team, they are the ones I honor the most in fellowship. When everybody has finished singing and singing in the Holy Ghost and laughing in the Spirit, and entering the bus and going back to their rooms, they are left to ensure that everything is packed, carefully carried, and taken care of. So sacrifice is stressful. Sometimes you need to look at your president and say, well done, sir, well done, ma, for all that you have done. Encourage them, because sacrifice is stressful. Some of them have to sleep 2 a.m., 1 a.m. I remember growing in school as well. 12 midnight was the earliest time I got to the room. So sacrifice, in summary, is stressful. But you could never get me to be selfless in my sacrifice. That is, I would never give if I did not have something to gain from it. And so my walk with God was always on what I had to gain, and not what others or what Jesus had to gain from my sacrifice. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Can I help you this night? There is a reason why many people have not hit what they are looking for. I will never forget a day a brother came in 400 level and told me God told him that he should be praying for the campus every Saturday night. between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. And he started praying for the campus consistently. He would look for me all the time to come and join him to pray. And he will never find me because I confirmed the time and made sure that I was not available at that time. And of course, when he finds me later on during the week, I will give him an excuse or the other. There was nothing exciting about God to be giving myself so much stressful because of UI. What is UI? What did they do for me? Why am I praying in tongues for UI? Who is UI? Why? I love you, Jesus. Can you just tell him those words? I love you, Jesus. Come on, come on. In the process of time, God used my lust. That is, what I wanted. He used my lust to get my attention. Like many of us, he used your lust, what you're looking for, to get your attention. And when he finally got your attention, he began to clean you up. Yes or no? Some of you understand what I'm saying. If you're wondering why you're stuck, it's because you're refusing to yield to the dealings of God in the repairing of your altar. Because the fire is not going to come on just any altar. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? And you see, every altar represented here knows what is wrong with them. You might not admit it, but you know. You know. And you know what has not been corrected, even though you were making sacrifices. Are you following? And so do we agree that it's possible to make sacrifices and be doing it because you want other people to see that you're making sacrifices? Yes or no? Is it possible to make sacrifices and it's adding to your pride every day as you keep on heaping the sacrifices? And one day, my president was talking about a man who once walked the campus, who took the campus for Jesus, and how people would gather from other fellowships, not caring the fellowships they represent, and they would gather for a meeting he convened personally. He held that meeting in Trenchard Hall, and people would gather all over from all the fellowships, and he was not the AUCSF president. People will be massively blessed. It was a phenomenon in the campus. And I was excited about that because he told me something the guy did. He said one day the guy told him that he walked round UI 7 times. Prayer walking. That's for 7 nights. And so my eyes opened. Wow. Okay. So if I walk around UI 7 times, I can take this campus. Then my name will be popular all over UI. It's not a bad idea. Is it a bad idea? It's not a bad idea. And so I began. This was sacrifice, yes or no? Many times you don't even know what is energizing you to do the good things that you are doing. Good things, but you are still not well. And so I began to trek around UI. Nobody sent me message. I was trekking around by myself because I was looking for something. First night, second night, third night. I think the third night I slept off, I couldn't do it. And so I started again. And I completed my 7 nights. On the 7th night, as I stepped on chapel ground, I heard the voice of God and he said, "Whose feet will you stamp in the sands of time?" And I bet you, I know the right answer to the question. Whose feet? Whose feet now? Jesus. There's nobody here who does not have the right answers to every question we're asked. I've been in church enough to answer that question well. Jesus at the center of it all. But God does not ask foolish questions. When he asks you a question, it is addressing something in your heart that must be dealt with. And so when he said that, I said, is your feet, oh, your feet, oh, is your feet. But in my heart, I knew that it was my feet. If it was his feet, I won't be trekking around you like that. It took me 55 minutes to 1 hour every night to do that. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? The encounters you have had determines the sacrifices you are ready to make for God. How deep an encounter you had was determines how much sacrifice you are ready to make because of it. That's why I don't push people to press. Don't worry. Just see first. When you see, you can't stop pressing. It's usually too late to turn back. And that's why we pray tonight that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. I don't want you just praying in tongues very loudly tonight and assume that you had a wonderful experience. Meanwhile, it was just an emotional experience. Until something permanent happens to you that wakes you up 4 a.m. tomorrow morning and keeps you praying in the spirit till tomorrow night. Until it's like that, I'm not impressed. And it drives you like that for months. And I meet you 2 years after. And you say you came to Funab. And you spoke to us. And from that time till now, I have been running, hungry for God, seeking God 5, 6, 7 hours every day. And these are the fruits to accompany my prayers. Until I hear that, I'm not interested in the encounter you had this night. I'm no longer interested in how many parts of the floor you were able to clean with your clothes. I'm no longer interested in how many plastic chairs broke when you received your encounter. Because until something happens to your altar, until your heart is set right, nothing serious comes from heaven. Elijah knew this. So God began to deal with my heart. To show me what was inside. Needless to say, I had some issues that I was experiencing that put me in a very sensitive spot, a vulnerable spot where I was needing God to solve my problem. I remember checking my results. I think it was 400 level. And I saw a carryover. And then I ran to my mom's office in church and lay down with my Bible and started reading. From night till the next night. You know why? I had already known at that point that if I don't stay in his presence, this particular setback was going to crash me. I would cave in and begin to doubt God's love for me and his plans for my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can I speak to you guys? I was in such a position that it didn't matter what God did. I couldn't take glory. There was nothing to take because there was something I needed him to do in my life. The next night, I went for a ministration in my secondary school. And I saw the power of God like I've never seen before. I saw a lady levitate under the power of God. And was dropping. Pa, pa, pa.
I was shouting, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
The next morning, when they came back for testimonies, they couldn't approach me because of how much light was coming from my body. And yet, that night before I slept, you know what my statement was? I said, Jesus, thank you, Sha. I like it. But please, solve my problem. God bless you. And I slept. I stand before God, I lie not. That's exactly what I said. I blessed Jesus. Because I was not in the mood even for the miracles that were happening. Can I talk to somebody here tonight? God bless you, all right? Let that be the last one. I'm beginning to realize the way your foundation was laid as a Christian determines how far you will go. I'm beginning to see that. That's why I'm not moved by many people's so-called ginger. Because I know one more process is still left. And that is the process of what? Death. You must die to live. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you like, hear. If you like, don't hear. This very same thing. Somebody has to come and say it. If you don't listen to it now, don't worry. Something funny happened to me in 2011. I don't remember which year. I went for a camp meeting, some teenagers, and we're preparing to minister to them, me and some of my friends, about four of us. We're just praying in the spirit. And I spoke in tongues and interpreted. I usually, you know, God speaks to me like that. I speak in tongues and then interpret it, and then it's an instruction to me or a message to me. So I was speaking in tongues, and then I heard myself say, after you have finished going round and round and round and round, round and round and round, you will come back to this same spot and we'll start from where we stopped. And then I stopped. After you have finished going round and round, is it me? Is it them? You will come back to this same spot and then you start from where we stopped. Sir, how long do you want to go round and round? That means I'm the one determining how fast I'm moving. Yes or no? It's not up to God. There are so many things we think are up to God. It is not up to God. He did the most and everything that should be done on his own part by dying. And he said it is what? Finished. He has finished his own part. Everything you are experiencing, believe me, everything you are experiencing, sometimes you are tempted to feel God has a hand. God must have a hand somehow. He is almighty. He must have a hand in all these things. Believe me, everything you are experiencing, when you are now better enlightened, you will see that it was you. Not just you, many things people are experiencing around you, it was still you. Is somebody following? I'm hearing that some people are not on this same page. But I cannot respond now because we don't have time tonight. Some people have not even crossed the line of hunger and they are sitting here. But it's not this night. I pray something happens to your heart at some point. To not be hungry is to not be alive. I'm telling you, is to not be alive. And so the process began. God began to deal with all the things that were hidden in our hearts. I've seen ladies come for meeting 12 hours every night. And after 6 nights of praying in the Holy Ghost, 12 hours every night.
The lady confessed. God actually has set me free from addictions. That is pornography, masturbation, you know, and so on and so forth. But the reason she's still coming, actually, is so that she can keep seeing a brother. That's when I realized how deep the heart of man is. This thing is not hidden. If you're a spiritual man, you can discern all these things. When people are around you, you can tell how much progress they have made, yes or no. From statements they make, from actions, from things that come out of them, you can tell how much progress this person has made. And you can tell how much of time the person will still waste. So sometimes in love, you caution, bro, I need to talk to you. You love God, so I need to help you. That's why Paul said, when I heard of your faith and love, I began to pray for you. That means they already had what? And what? Can you imagine that? Do you know that church is better than most churches today? The Ephesian church. Read the letter to them. You know that they were not on the page most Nigerian churches are on today. He heard of their faith and love and began to pray that they will not be blind. He must have been seen, yes or no? So maybe all the progress he made was because he had sight. You cannot. You are wasting time. You can know why your family is still under that yoke. Don't deny it. Don't deny it. If you need to get angry, get angry. There's a friend of mine whose experience shook me, you know. Shook me up a little bit. Not a little bit, actually, a lot. Because this guy has spent time, we've been praying in the spirit. We have prayed in the spirit together. We have, you know. Then one day, he goes to a meeting. Hands are laid on him, and bah, he begins to manifest. And he's a pastor in a church I've ministered in. So I was shocked to my marrow to hear and see that. It began to bother me a lot. My dad was going for a meeting in that state where he was in. And so I told him, please go and meet him when he comes. Because if deliverance is a gift, his own, deliverance is a throne that he is sitting on with a scepter in his hand. Go and meet him. Just put his hand on you. And true to it, he went for the meeting. As the hand touched him, he began again. Became very violent. He was arrested, taken care of. He began to cry and was saying, thank you, sir. I have been suffering this for so many years. As a believer in new creation reality. Now, the next week, somebody put on Facebook that it is a crime, anomaly, to cast out a demon from a Christian. As a Christian cannot have, you know, demonic infestations. I didn't know how to respond. Because this, my friend, is a Christian. And he speaks in tongues too. So amazing things happen like that make you begin to wonder, has this person not been making progress?
But when you come a little closer, you begin to see all the reasons why God is not a liar. I'm not going to go into that tonight. Tonight, God showed me people who must become aggressive, or else cycles will not break. I saw it on my way here. It began to pain me again because people are now hungry. I mean, the least expected is that they are not distracted anymore. So if you came in late, I'm going to allow you to pray that prayer again when the time comes. And you're going to address things that have kept on repeating themselves again and again and again. Things you have managed again and again and again. Because it did never met the violence of aggression. They did not let go. They don't go because you are a Christian or because you receive Holy Ghost baptism. They go because you told them to go. Hallelujah. Before we go into that, let's continue. So God began to deal with her. And when you check through scriptures, you see the disciples and the hearts that they had. Do you remember when James and John tried to burn down the entire Samaria? Do you remember? What was Samaria's crime? Don't pass through our land. Don't pass our land, our own land. Don't pass our land. He said, Master, can we burn them and the land? And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are of. So there was something in their heart that needed to be fixed. Jesus knew it, yes or no? When you read what Judas was doing, do you know Jesus all the while that he had been stealing from the purse? And so for every single one of us, for every single one of us, as we fellowship with Jesus, he is not unaware of the things that must be taken care of if we are going to make progress. The day something shows up and people are shocked is not the day it started. It is never that day it started. Things were just covered up again and again and again and again and again. It's usually worse when you're given responsibilities. Because then you really have to act your drama. Nobody must know. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? But as long as there is a signature inside you that resonates darkness, there is an open door of entrance for the enemy to come, steal, kill, and destroy. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So as we began to press, the very first night, I had an encounter. It was that encounter that began to make me selfless in my pressing. Hallelujah. That night people were praying in the spirit all over. And I heard the Lord Jesus say, thank you. And I said, thank you for what? And so I felt he was sarcastically saying thank you because I didn't tell him thank you. So I started thanking him. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. You are the King of glory. You are the King of everlasting Father. Everlasting. You know, we have crammed everything. Everlasting God of glory, everlasting King, King of eternal, the one is beautiful, excellent, wonderful. You don't even think before you. You are just talking. Since you are small now, Abi now, you don't have to think. So I began to thank him. He said, Lawrence, thank you. And so I said, thank me for what? Lord, you are the one that died for me, the one who created me, the one who made me, the one who... Thank God he's patient with us. I knew he wanted to get through to me because there was something in that. There was an encounter in that was going to bring me to another level in my walk with him. Number one, I saw his humility. When he said, thank you, I said, for what? What did I do? What can I do that did not strengthen me to do? Everything I'm doing is because of you. I can do it because... He said, thank you. I said, thank you for what? He pointed at those that were praying and said, thank you for this. You know what happened to me that day? I began to realize how much Jesus wants to do that he cannot do because people don't pray. Are you following? So my prayer life did not start because prayer is good. Prayer, you'll become charged. Or prayer, are you getting what I'm saying? Many beautiful reasons I can give you now. Personally, my own stood on the foundation that Jesus needs me. Do you know how beautiful that sounds like? That I'm needed. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? That I'm important. That if I don't raise my hand when they call my name, present, sir, some things are going to fail. Many things will not play out like it should. I can choose to say no, like many people who's listening to me right now are saying no constantly. Sometimes we boast about threatening God and giving him timelines like he's our mate. Something bad happens and you're even telling him, Lord, sort this thing out. Sort it out. Between now and Thursday, please, sort it out. And if you don't sort it out, I'm not going to fellowship again. Amazing statements like that. God began to deal with our hearts. I didn't like this message in 100 level when men of God came to school and preached. I remember Mario finished preaching. I was crying like an orangutan and saying, Jesus, am I still saved? And then Brock Billy Akoni came again and preached again. Ah, that one, I died. I will listen to the message, another message again, and die again. Until I said, what is it, Jeff? I beg, John. What is it? Ah. And that's why he told me, keep running. When you come back, you will start from where we stopped. Because speaking in tongues is easier than dying. Ah, Lord, open somebody's eyes here to see what I'm saying. Bible study is very easy. It's easier than dying. To die, just 1 minute of death, you will feel it more than 5 hours of intense prayer. Sometimes death is giving an apology to somebody you know is wrong and hurts you. How many of you prefer to speak in tongues than to apologize sometimes? Let's be sincere. Wave your hands. You understand what I'm saying? Are you seeing what I'm saying? How many of you know that sometimes speaking in tongues is easier than giving? If you agree with me, raise your hand. More people are raising their hand. That's good. So many instructions God will give you. His target is death. So after he had shown Abraham a promise, Abraham was literally living every day for that promise. If it's not Isaac, then what is it? He has everything already. He's just remaining that one, Isaac. Finally, God gave it to him. Just as he could hold it and say, I have a son. After 25 years, God said, oh yeah, now. That son, so which one? I didn't say Ishmael, no, so you don't make mistake. Ishmael, you can probably use gun. Say, can I use gun and kill him? Say, use knife. He said, no, I can even use gun. The one whom you love, take him and come and kill him where I'm going to show you. Abraham obeyed because he literally had let Isaac go in his heart and was about to do it. To prove to you that God is not after the sacrifice. I hope somebody's hearing what I'm saying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I feel like some people are still not hearing what I'm saying. God is really after. He was not after Isaac coming to heaven. What is he doing with him? He was not after the sacrifice. He was after the heart. Are you ready to let go of everything, even though you are praying in the spirit? This is why people are still wasting time. I'm sure you agree with me that praying in tongues today, in the Christian faith today, is easier than preaching. Yes or no? Can you answer me, please? It's not hard again. No. It was before it was hard. Your problem was prayer power. Now you have prayer power plus prayer fire and prayer energy. You are now possessed with the spirit of prayer. But for the past 6 weeks, you have never said, bro, Jesus loves you. How many of you understand what I'm saying? You know why? That stepping out kills you. It kills you. And you're lost. That lost for being, you know, together. I'll be embarrassed. How will I just come before five guys who are having their cool? I tell them, guys, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. How will I look like? What about stepping out and praying for the sick? Is somebody hear what I'm saying? You know why they will never do it? Sir, do you know why they will never do it?
The prayer will be answered.
I don't see anything, no. Just listen carefully. Why are they afraid?
They are scared if the prayer will be answered.
Why are they afraid now that the prayer will not be answered?
It's all their ego, sir.
Ego. They don't have, these people don't have ego. Nobody has ego. Don't talk like that. Give me another reason.
So that they will not insult them.
If they insult me, you did more than that to Christ, yes or no? So it can't be that. These people here, forget it. That's not the reason. What's the reason? There's no other reason. Somebody else can help you, alright? Call a friend. Please call a friend. Time is going. They say I have about 25 minutes left. See, let me tell you something. I'll be back here again. I think next week, Abby. And we will deal with some other subjects. If I tell you what my plan was for tonight, see, you guys would have been so excited. By now, you should have broken at least like 13 to 15 chairs. From excitement. Are you following? I know you guys are tired. You came from class and so on and so forth. Some of you have not rested and all that. So I should not be talking this kind of talk. Do activation, words of knowledge, you know, prophetic stuff right here and now. Healings. I begin to shout, scream. You know, amazing. And your roommate is wondering, I'm finished. I didn't come for the meeting. How do you describe this meeting now? It was wonderful. How was it wonderful? Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? No? But do you know this guy? I'm not under pressure. I was an idiot before. Yes, I was a fool before. When you're not a fool, you can abuse yourself before. Before, I was a fool. Before, I used to care what you think. Until me too, I died. You that can turn your back on me, I'm caring what I'm saying to you. You. Go and ask Jesus. He said he did not give himself to them because he knew what was in man. Man. see, look at scriptures properly and it will scare you what human beings are. Without God, you are wretched. You are an evil, wicked thing. You can kill. My mom always told me growing up, anybody that can lie can do any other thing. Because once you can lie, you can cover up any other crime. Are you following? So we grew up afraid of lying. So don't bother committing crime because you can't lie. It doesn't make sense when you cannot lie to cover yourself. You now commit crime and then chop king. But I was the best of liars. I'll just tell you one so you can have a revelation of what kind of being I was. This is very embarrassing, but I'll say it. When I was growing up, I used to deal with bird betting. Should I share this? I won't share this. Some of you will never forget it. Hallelujah. If you will forget it, wave your hands. So I won't share it. Hallelujah. Let's fire on. I asked a question now. You did not answer me. If you will forget it after tonight, wave your hands. Are you seeing? So you won't forget. And once you don't forget, you can't be remembering my name and you're remembering that kind of story. Hallelujah. That's on a lighter note. But I had those issues. How many of you had those issues? Wave your hands to Jesus. They cannot raise their hand. If you had those, someone is doing their head. What was that? All the drama we act is the reason why we don't encounter God. I'm telling you. The more I'm going, the more I'm realizing that there's no need for acting. Come on, man. The more naked you are, the more ready God is to cover you. If you can cover yourself, go on. Ask Adam and Eve. God knew they sinned and he had a plan to cover it. Ha! God, the veno, come on, the valley. He will cover you with so much glory. You'll be exposing yourself. They'll see the back saying, bros. Now you. Say, no, not be me. Say, no, bros, I beg. Look at all we are seeing. Now you. Say, no, it's not me. Look at all these scars all over me. Bros, I say, now you. Because God has chosen to honor you. Moses was a stammerer. Moses was somebody that when he's talking, he's very irritated. What's wrong with this guy? Say what you're trying to say. But he stood before a world government and shut it down. He was shy, he was afraid. He said, don't send me. But he was ready. When you are like that, you are ready. Because of time, I won't be able to share that story. Hallelujah. Time has gone, actually. Let me just drop it quickly. Some people are already laughing. It's unbelievable. So because of that issue, not every day, of course, I wasn't consistent, but it was happening from time to time. Once you see yourself in the dream, rushing somewhere to ease yourself, something's about to happen. And you ease yourself in the dream. That's how it used to happen. It was always an encounter. Once you are done, you just wake up and see that they betrayed you. The spirit realm betrayed you. See them. More people are laughing now, so they know. Hallelujah. I can't tell you how many cases of bedwetting that God has, how many yokes have been broken. It's exciting to watch because I know I suffered it. You know when you have compassion towards something, the anointing flows better in those areas. What you've not felt pain in, usually will not, you know, respond quickly. Hallelujah. Sometimes they can't believe it. Sir, I did not pay away today. I said, don't tell anybody. How do you? You are 20 years old. Don't be shouting it everywhere. So that day, I urinated, but not in the toilet, on the bed. And I woke up and found out that I was wet. And
My brother was there. I don't know why people are laughing, sincerely. But I didn't want them to know who did it. And so, I united on him. Watch, listen. And so he woke up and saw me. Amazing, right? And he shouted, "What are you doing?" And I said, I'm very sorry. I don't know how it happened. I was just thinking very fast. Like, they have to catch two of us together or something. So he said, "I'm going to tell daddy. I said, calm down. What is it? Calm down. So I'm going to tell daddy. I said, telling me to calm down. I said, calm down. It has happened. Calm down. And so he was rushing, crying, coming down to go and report me. And I told him, I said, "Look, when we get there, I will lie. And when I lie, they will not believe both of us. So let's just forget this thing." He said, you will see. And he went there and banged on the door. I said, "Who is that?" Daddy came out. I waited until he came out. Once he was about to start his testimony, I shouted, "Ha! Ha! Ha!" Daddy was wondering, "Keep quiet. Speak. Who is speak?" At the middle of the night, 4 a.m., what are you trying to explain? The man is tired. He said, and he's crying. He can't even articulate what he's trying to say properly. So that was an advantage. So I was shouting, "Ha, my God, so glad to you. Ha, until daddy, both of you leave this place," and banged the door. And I reminded him, didn't I tell you? Hallelujah. So lying was a throne I was sitting on. And once you can lie, you can cover up any other kind. You can tell a lie and you can live a lie. 90-something% of Christians are not real. We are lying with our lives. If you don't love Jesus, you know it, yes or no. I'm telling you, you don't need a message. You know it, yes or no. If you can lie to yourself, then you are funny. Sincerely, there's one person I don't used to lie to. That was myself. I can tell you all my issues now. I can tell you why I'm where I am now. Is anybody here who understands what I'm saying? You know. You are a student here. You probably did work a couple of times or jam a couple of times, and then you entered into school. But every time you had a result, you told them that they gave it to you. You didn't have the results. They gave you. But if you trust, if you trace it back, if you are sincere, you can say why. I know Nigeria is full of miracles. I know that. But most people are the authors of their own what? Undoing. So when a man begins to say things like, "Jesus does not love me. I don't know why my own case is special. I don't understand why God will do this for this person and not do this for me." And so on and so forth. And it's looking like some people just have some, you know, it's as if God just likes some people, does not like some people. Is it pointing? Are you getting what I'm saying? In the book of Acts, Peter spoke in the house of Cornelius. Try and give it to us. Somebody help us quickly. Acts chapter what? 10. Is it 31? Verse 31. Go ahead. Verse 30. When Peter began to speak,
Look at it. 1, 2, go. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of people. Next verse. But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted by him. Let's look at another version. Another version, two other versions. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Am I helping somebody tonight? Come on, come on. Time is going. Is there any other one? If there's none, let's go on. No other one. All right. Anybody with another version? Something. I really understand now. Ah, Jesus. See, this thing set me free in SS2. Once I knew that this thing is for everybody, and you drink as much as you want, your greatness is God, is determined by you. Once I realized that, I said I won't. I had enough reasons to believe I should be at the seat. But once I saw that this thing is for everybody, if you ginger, if you're serious, if you're ready, God can pick you and replace somebody he had an original plan for. Do you know he planned to establish Saul forever? Oh God, answer me. That was his plan. Go and read it. Samuel told him, if not for this, I would have established a kingdom forever. And yet David was faithful with some sheep. Are you kidding me? There are people right now, you don't know that you're getting ready to replace. And there are people here, sadly, somebody is getting ready to replace you. You are wasting time. Because you are slow feet and you are booting as if you have all the years. Hallelujah. So if it's up to me, then where does it begin? It begins in the place of prayer. And Lord, I want to be real with you. I want to be real with you. If I'm not doing, I'm not doing. Now that I've chosen to do. You still have a choice. You can tell him I'm not doing again. But if I'm doing, I can't do it as if I can deceive you. I can't deceive you. I'm not serious about my pursuit. And I want you to help me. Start there. Be real. Let me tell you sincerely, for many Christians, you will soon realize that one of the first signs that you are intentionally having an intimate time with Jesus is that you break into tears. Just believe me, alright? Just believe me. How many of you understand what I'm saying? See, just believe me, alright? You might not even understand because your heart is far from tenderness. It's been a long time since you meant what you were saying. You don't even know you don't mean it. You know when you don't know you're not hungry? Because you're doing all the things that hungry people do. Okay, you can see they're holding chair. There's one thing I will never forget. One small boy in Lagos, at that small age, I say, money. End time things. Other children were under the power of God. And this boy too was. Then he got up and removed his shoe, kept it, and went back and continued. The boy is just about 8-9 years old. So when they told me that the guy did that, I was amazed. I wanted to have a session with him. How did you learn this? To join others to. Maybe he was looking like, no, I can't carry last book. I must have a counter. It's either I have it or I have it. Hallelujah. But when life begins to ask questions,
Those who have encounters are the only ones that will have answers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are the only ones. They are the only ones. They are the only ones that will have answers. Ask the sons of Sceva. They are the only ones. They are the only ones. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? They are the only ones. It's not difficult. Just die. Just tell him, be my Lord. Be everything to me. I want to really, really love you. So you know how I track my progress. I'm going to end on this note now. I know we're not going to pray. I noticed that from 2015, 16. Can I be very real with you guys? I thank you for what you're doing in their hearts, Lord Jesus. Can you feel the progress you're making? Lord, I ask that you seal it. Lord, bind them to love's strong cord. These ones will try, they cannot escape again. I declare they are implicated. Shout it for your neighbor too. Some of your neighbors are avoiding, they're avoiding the prayer. You will not love anything apart from intimacy in Jesus' name. Anything outside of that nearness, that intimate connect, we stink in Jesus. I'm sure you know you can hear it in the voices of speakers when they are talking. Can you hear it or not? You can hear it. It's a real fragrance that flows out of every word. It's not about sounding deep. Words take you to the place a person is coming from. Words are instruments of journey. They are doors. They are instruments by which we move from one place to another. And so these words I'm speaking cannot take you to a place I've not been to. I was saying something before I got distracted. Yes. I began to notice that I will say, I love you, Jesus. And I won't mean it. I will say those words as usual. I probably even get new spontaneous songs on the spot and still not mean what I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I was bothered. Because once your heart is not beating, once you're not tender anymore, you begin to notice that things begin to get in. It's easier to be cold. It's easier to go a day. You will still talk about prayer, but not pray. How many of you understand what I'm saying? You can talk about something and not do it. And the more you talk about something you're not doing, the deeper your coldness, because you are acting a drama consistently. You're plunging yourself into hypocrisy. Sometimes you can't even find yourself again. You're trying to feel things that you can't feel anymore. You just don't know why. You don't know how it happened. Because you kept on repeating words you don't mean. Until almost like you became dead, immovable to the fact that you were deceiving yourself. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So I noticed that I was irritated with people. I'm not kidding. I was becoming irritated. The pressure of ministry, of people knowing you and saying, you know, I noticed that I was no longer, how do I put this word? I was no longer, yes, personal. I was no longer thinking about the person individually. I was just concerned about things happening. I didn't love people. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's something that makes God God. He loves everybody and he loves you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what scares me about God. I can love everybody. I love you all. I really love you. When it's time to make sacrifices for one, Jesus will leave the 99 and go for the one. Because that one
it's almost as if the one means the same thing as the 99. Is somebody hear what I'm saying? That's God. You won't believe what he can do to you now because of you. I've seen God create a faculty in a school because of a lady. Prophetic word went ahead of her that you've been studying law. And the next year came, wrote the exam, and you know, university didn't take her. And she called the guy again and said, you said it will happen, it didn't happen. The guy repeated it. I said you will study law. They created law within weeks in another university. And she quickly filled the form. That faculty started, and she started. Because prophecy can be creative. Are you kidding me? Are you saying that the prophetic word went and began to arrange things because of one human being? Others will not benefit because of that one. That's how much God is personal with us. The one thing that kept me running is when I knew he knew me. And you know me. I will never forget the young boy who came to my room asking for messages. And as he was asking for messages, I said, okay, I'll give you messages. He said he wants to change his messages from bad songs to good songs and so on and so forth. So I wanted to, okay, no, Allah, follow me to my room. I'll send you good songs, better music and so forth. Then the Holy Spirit said, he's not yet saved. So he's not yet saved. I don't understand. So I just shoved it aside because where do I start from? How do I know he's saved or he's not saved? Why am I hearing this? And then I got to the room. I was sending him messages. And I said, let me talk to him about the gifts of the Spirit and impart him. Somebody, I just finished hearing that he's not yet saved. Impart him with the gift of the Spirit. That's what I had to fire on. My brother, I would minister sometimes. I will not care whether people are healed or not. All I wanted was for people to reach the ground. God helped me. God helped me from a very bad place. I didn't love people. I wanted the drama. I will never forget praying in tongues 4 hours for a meeting. I've been praying 12 hours every night. Then I went for the meeting 4 hours. I was thinking the students might die. So I was already going there and I was ready. Ha, Jesus, today, ha. These people are going to die today. Their parents will come and pick their dead bodies. You don't understand how much I love power. And God used that thing to catch me. I love Jesus. So, you like power? Come. See power. Come. And I was coming. Are you following? I've seen power throw somebody out of the window. Catch her. I said somebody was levitating on that power. I knew he wanted to get my attention. I was still not happy. And so that day, I was ministering and nobody fell. I laid hands on one or two people. And then I left and I was asking Jesus, how did I offend you? How did I offend you? Let's talk it out. What did I do? Now, I'm asking what is wrong. Is it because I really want to fellowship or because I'm wondering why there was... Are you following? So I'm still coming so something can be happening. Like, what? It didn't happen. And then he asked me, what do you want? Do you want lives transformed or do you want people to reach the ground? And he shocked me. Of course, you know the answer. Yes or no? What's the answer? Lives transformed. So I gave him the right answer. Lord, I want lives transformed, turned around for you. Lives changed by your power. I was sincere that day at least. I said, Lord, but you know when those things happen, it helps people believe that something is around now. The next week was when I saw that God could wreck a life, turn a life up without any drama. The next week, a young boy was to share his testimony. And the principal said, I'm going to share it personally. Everybody was excited about his testimony. I shared it so many times. The boy got home and he said, there was one word I said, when you get home, they will not recognize you. And he got home. On his way home, he was preaching. The boy was a Muslim. He was preaching inside bus, preaching with tears from his eyes. People in the bus started crying. Got to his bus stop, wanted to pay. They said, don't worry. Came down. He got home, knelt down to talk to God for the first time in his life. Boah! Started speaking in tongues. Monday morning was fasting. Tuesday fasting. Wednesday fasting. Thursday fasting. Preaching to his classmates. Friday was when they were sharing the testimony. And he was telling his principal, his Alaji father, even if he doesn't want him to go to church, I'm ready to die for Jesus. I was listening, I was afraid. I said, from which meeting? Yesterday, last Friday. So I started remembering those that fell down. This guy didn't fall down. What happened to him? After the meeting, he was asking me, he says, I have two challenges. And then my flesh woke up again. Tell me what it is, I will deal. If it's sickness, we'll finish it here. Whatever will stand against your work with God, I will finish it. If somebody in your family will call them home, now. Tell me what it is, my boy. Say, I have two problems. Number one, anytime I start speaking in tongues, I cannot stop. The second one, when I start reading my Bible, I can't stop. Sir, how can I stop when I want to stop? Hallelujah. Somebody will have that problem this night. You will have that problem tonight. Something will wake up inside you and you will see, Jesus gave me so much. What have I done for him? That's what struck William Booth. He died for me. What have I done for him? What have I done for Jesus? And why don't I even care that I've not done anything? Why am I so irresponsive to what he did for me? Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Tonight, God is going to wake you up. And you begin to step out to do things that are inconvenient. Your love for him is real. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Death is inconvenient. That's your first sign. Once you know that you are dying, the first thing you know is that you are feeling what? Pain. You are feeling pain. You are feeling pain. You are feeling pain. You are always feeling pain. Rise up on your feet. And don't just start speaking in tongues now. I want you to close your eyes. Don't open it. Begin to have a very real conversation with Jesus. Tell him, Lord, do a work in my heart that I will tell my children about. Do a work in my heart. I want to be a daddy that is in love with you. A mommy that is in love with you. I want to be a grandma that is in love with you. Jesus, kill my appetite for sin.